The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it, you don't need it, but you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
The show's presenting sponsor, as always, is Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Head to windownation.com. Mention my name for a free, no-obligation in-home quote. Tommy is here. I am here. Tommy, are you feeling better than you were feeling yesterday? You were slow to the punch yesterday, and I know that it was long travel and the charity event, Cigars and Curveballs, on Monday night. You didn't want to do the show yesterday.
No. No, I didn't. In fact, right up until you started walking away from Shelley's Monday night, I wasn't going to do it. But then I said, okay, I'll do it.
Well, you did. I said, why don't you, can you do it tomorrow? Meaning Tuesday. And you're like, no, I cannot do it tomorrow. And then I said, well, okay, well, then we'll do the Wednesday, which, by the way, was the schedule you gave me. You told me that you didn't want to do it Tuesday and that you would do it Wednesday. And then when I said, all right, well, then we'll do it Wednesday, and you're like, I don't really want to, I don't think I can do it Wednesday either. And I said, well, what do you mean? That's not tomorrow. That's 2 days from now. And I think I started to emasculate you a little bit, and you finally, you know, grabbed my arm, pulled me up against a chain link fence and say, fine, I'll do it. That was such a great story. For those of you that missed it yesterday, Tommy thwarted the attempt of a pickpocketer in Ireland. The guy picked the wrong guy to try to pickpocket, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, you did not sound well yesterday.
Well, no, I faded. I think I was okay in the
beginning.
You were
okay in the beginning, yes. I mean, you got the
story.
Talking
about Ireland, I was excited.
It's a good thing we did that in the opening segment and didn't save it for the last segment.
Yeah, but I faded as it went on.
You were fading. No doubt you were fading. I mean, did it just all kind of come together? You knew Wednesday, which was still, you know, it was still 40-something hours away from the end of the Shelley's event on Monday night. But you knew, you know what? You know your body. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know your body, and you knew you weren't going to be super sharp for an hour plus on Wednesday.
No. I was still feeling the effects of red kryptonite.
How do you feel today?
I feel like I could burst through the fortress of solitude, baby.
All right. You know who doesn't feel well today?
Ready to go.
But never complains?
Oh.
Me. I was up for basically the entirety of the night with a dog that was not well last night. But she's much better, and that's the good news. But your boy's working on maybe an hour and a half from last night. I trudge on, no complaining. Although I do have I do have something going on with my neck right now. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure I slept on it at some point because I didn't sleep much last night. Wrong, and I got probably some sort of disc issue going on. Whatever. All right, I wanted to read this email to start the show. It comes from Dan. Dan writes, I'm 44, I listen all the time, but can't believe that both Kevin and Tom are rushing Jaden Daniels into the starting lineup. The line is bad, the system will be new, and there's no pressure to win in 2024, so why rush it? Marcus Mariota is actually better than most fans think and could be a great mentor and a player that could make Jaden's transition much easier. Jaden Daniels being great 3 years from now is what's most important, and playing right away and risking early career adversity and perhaps even injury because he's not ready seems very short-sighted. Well, thank you, Dan, for the email. There is some Jaden Daniels stuff that we have to get into today. For those of you that may have seen the headline about his wager with his college teammate Malik Nabers, we will get into that. You did agree with me yesterday that he should start week one, or that you didn't have a problem with him starting week one, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. I understand, and in the past, maybe years ago, I'd be all in favor of bringing along the young quarterback slowly. But like you pointed out, how many games did he start in college? Over 50?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been starting at quarterback in college since before the pandemic began.
Yeah.
He threw touchdowns to Brandon Ayuk. He's 23 years old, yes.
Yeah. No. This kid should be ready to play. And he should be a better option for them than Marcus Mariota from game one. Now, I do have, like I voiced yesterday, I don't think they've done... I do have concerns about their ability to protect him. There's been... I just think that, you know, he came baby. You got to put him out there. That's what you picked him for.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't have a problem with what Dan writes, especially if he's not ready. I would not advocate putting him out there if he's actually not ready and, as Dan writes, you know, would be risking early career adversity or maybe even injury because he's not ready. If he's not ready, they shouldn't put him out there. What I am saying and have been saying is that I expect him to be ready, and if he isn't ready, then I think I would be concerned. Not concerned to the point of giving up. I mean, that's not going to happen in his first season. But, you know, he's got all of this experience. In all of the lead-up to the draft, he and Caleb Williams were described as the most pro-ready. You know, if they had drafted Drake May, who was not their number two quarterback, J.J. McCarthy was, if they had drafted Drake May with all of the discussion from a lot of the, you know, so-called experts about him needing time, then I would have expected maybe Drake May not to start this season. They drafted Jaden Daniels not because he was the most pro-ready. I hope that's not the reason they drafted him. That would have been a stupid reason to draft him. You draft him because you think he's going to be the best quarterback and have the best quarterback career, not because he's the most pro-ready to start with. You know, it's a long game, you know, when you draft a quarterback number two. But if he's not ready, don't start him. I'm with you. I'm just saying that if he's not ready, I would be surprised and just a tad concerned. This is a guy that's played a lot of college football, is 23 going on 24. He's got a high floor, if you want to talk ceiling floor, because of his mobility. He's coming into an organization that doesn't have an incumbent, that isn't expected to win. I actually think that works in favor of playing him, is that you don't have to win in 2024. You can use 2024 as that rookie season for him to have ups and downs and not worry about needing to win 9 or 10 games, because every rookie quarterback's going to have, you know, ups and downs. You know, I went through the list of quarterbacks going back to Robert Griffin III in 2012 who were picked number two overall. Every single one of them, with the exception of Mitchell Trubisky, started week one of their rookie season. Robert Griffin did. Marcus Mariota did. Carson Wentz did. And then you had, where are the others? Zach Wilson did, and C.J. Stroud did. The only one that didn't was Mitch Trubisky. He started by, I think it was by week five in Chicago. So it's not an, the era we're living in isn't to sit quarterbacks for a year. Even Anthony Richardson last year, and I've used him as an example, was picked, you know, fourth overall, and everybody said the same thing about him that they're saying about Drake May. He needs a year. If you're willing to sit him for a year, then pick Anthony Richardson. Well, guess what? He started week one. Started week two, then got injured and missed a lot of the season. But I just, if he's not ready, I would be surprised. I'd be a little bit concerned. But if he isn't ready, Dan, then he shouldn't play right away. It just would be, I don't know, a little bit concerning. Because this is a guy that everybody says will put in the work, is ready, played in a pro system. And it's not like, you know, he's sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, like, you know, as the 26th pick in the first round, like Jordan Love was. Go ahead.
You know, we've always said, and this is what we've been told by players and coaches alike, that the players know who should be starting. And it'll probably be obvious to them before the season starts that Jaden Daniels should be out there on the field for game one, in the locker room. But, you know, that theory, I think, took a little beating last year, because I'd be shocked if, really, based on what they saw in practice and in training camp, that Sam Howell was a better option than Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
You know, and we didn't hear any squawking from the players about it.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, Sam Howell had talent. And they, you know, a lot of what the players see during the offseason and, you know, before you start playing games is they see things like the arm talent. That's where the wow factor was with Sam Howell during the offseason. And by the way, let's keep in mind, it's not like Jacoby Brissett had been on the team. He was new to the team and new to the offense as well. It was also, I think, ultimately a dysfunctional situation, as we've talked about before, because of the lame duck head coach and the offensive coordinator that he hired.
You're right.
You know, Dan also mentioned Marcus Mariota. I actually think he's right. I think Marcus Mariota actually has played better than probably a lot of our fans believe that he has. He hasn't played at an outstanding level, like, oh, he should definitely be a starter level. But he is one of those guys that is a low-end NFL starter, backup, you know, at this point in his career. He's 30 years old. But in Atlanta a couple of years ago, before I guess he went AWOL when he got benched for Desmond Ridder, he actually played pretty well, and Atlanta was playing well. You know, they had that game here in Washington in which he basically drove him down the field for what would have been the winning touchdown. And on the pass, Deron Payne got, you know, a hand on it, and Kendall Fuller intercepted it in the end zone. But I thought he played pretty well.
90. He threw 93 career touchdowns and 55 interceptions.
Is that what it is?
That's not bad.
It's not great, you know, in this day and age.
But it's not bad.
It's
for a backup quarterback, those are pretty good numbers.
What are the career numbers that you just said that are pretty good?
93 career touchdown passes and 55 interceptions.
Yeah, it's not great. That's not very good. That's not good at all.
Typically, for backup quarterbacks, the interception
rate is higher. In Tennessee, he was the starter there for 3 or 4 years, right? And in Atlanta, he was the starter. Like, his last season starting, because he was in Vegas, that's right. He was in Vegas behind Derek Carr as a backup quarterback before Carr went to
started in Atlanta in 2022.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He wasn't terrible that year. I'm looking at his stats now. Completed 61.3% of his passes, started 13 games, 2,219 yards, 15 touchdowns, 9 picks. You know, it's fine. You know, if Jacoby Brissett were back here for another year, I bet more people would be okay with him not starting week one after what we saw from Brissett.
After what we saw from Brissett in that small little window that we saw him,
yeah.
I think people would feel that way.
All right, so there is another Jaden Daniels story that we should address here. And it's funny because we talked about and played some of the Jaden Daniels sound from the Keyshawn Johnson podcast the other day. And I think we were in agreement yesterday, right? It's like, wow, he handled those questions well about being the week one starter. You know, that's not my call.
Absolutely.
You know, in the NFC East where he got prodded to say we're going to win the NFC East and he didn't fall for it. Well, I guess the part we missed yesterday is the part that's blowing up right now, which is the part where they ask him, and I think it's Keyshawn's son, asks him about this bet that he has with his good friend from LSU, Malik Nabers, who was picked number 6 overall by the New York Giants. Let me play this for you, and you can hear it, and then we'll respond to it.
Is it facts or fiction that you and him have a Rookie of the Year bet going on?
Man, he wasn't supposed to tell nobody. It's supposed to be... We got a little something going on.
What's the bet, though? Is it money or is it what?
Yeah, it's money.
How much?
10. Who won Rookie of the Year?
That's nothing for y'all now. You guys...
I mean, he put it out there, so it was like...
That ain't really...
I can't say he capped, so...
Yeah, we did miss that from the Keyshawn Johnson podcast. You could tell that Jaden didn't really want to admit this. He said, man, he wasn't supposed to tell nobody, as in Malik Nabers wasn't supposed to tell anybody. So you can tell that he understood that this probably shouldn't get out, but it's out now, and it's a headline right now on ESPN.com. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers have $10,000 Offensive Rookie of the Year bet. John Keim wrote that there's a good chance that this bet doesn't happen. A team source said that the education for rookies on gambling policy takes place during their rookie minicamp, which, by the way, for Jaden Daniels, begins actually this afternoon with orientation sessions and continues tomorrow and Saturday. And John writes in his story, the bet could end up being canceled afterward. ESPN has contacted the NFL league office to determine if this would violate its policy on gambling, but did not immediately hear back. The league's policy states that NFL personnel are prohibited from placing, soliciting, or facilitating any bet, whether directly or through a third party, on any NFL game, practice, or other league event, such as the draft or combine. It includes betting on the outcome of a game, statistics, the score, or individual performance, or other prop bets. The 2022 gambling policy stated that gambling includes private wagers between teammates, family, and friends or others, but that was not included in the revised 2023 policy. So there you go. What do you make of this?
You know, I mean, the word bet has got everybody shook up these days, and rightfully so. I mean, people's antennas are up about gambling and sports right now, and I think they should be. I think people should be very vigilant about, again, I'm all in favor of legalized sports betting, but that requires even more vigilance than before when it came to whether or not, you know, there's betting activity that could be perceived as, you know, as problematic. This doesn't necessarily fall under that category, but now it's become, because players have been suspended for a year, it's become a lightning rod. You know, a friendly bet between teammates is now a lightning rod situation. So I understand that reaction to it. I don't think it's going to amount to much. It's an easy thing to address and to say no. We're not gonna do that, and that's the end of it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is a difference between, you know, a bet with a friend and a bet with an actual sports book, you know, or in a legal or illegal. Part of it is that, you know, it's a bet that you, not that you shouldn't pay all of your bets and wagers, but, you know, lots of friends have like a running tab wager. You know, it's like, we're going to bet on this and, you know, we're going to come back and we're going to play cards and we're going to play golf and, you know, we'll settle when it gets to a certain number. But it's Absolutely. Not like, it's not like, you know, you've got a gambling entity that can come to you and say, if you're down a bunch of money, hey, I've got a way for you to clean the slate, you know, which has led to a lot of the concerns over athletes betting. And that's the integrity of the game has to be there, or you have professional wrestling, and you can't allow players to bet, you know, with sports books, legal or illegal. But this sounds like something that probably, you know, 25% of players in sports have going on. Bets with friends, bets with teammates, etc. With that said, I'm glad that he recognized that it's not good for this to get out. I think there's some recognition there. I know I'm probably giving him too much credit because I want to give him credit. When he said he wasn't supposed to tell anybody, because I'm sure when they made this bet, it's like, hey, we can't tell anybody about it. And then neighbors went and told the Ryan Clark podcast. That's where the question came for Jaden Daniels on the Keyshawn Johnson podcast. It's because they had already heard Malik Nabers say it. So he understands that it shouldn't have gotten out, but maybe the part of it that I would have recommended he not disclose is the amount. You know, people, it's kind of a relative thing, but this bet's going to be, they're going to take this bet back after this rookie minicamp and the introduction to gambling. You're going to hear that, we canceled that bet. I think
There'll
John
be questions
comes,
about it this weekend from beat writers.
But you know what,
it'll come up.
You know what, Tommy? I know that there's a lot of money involved for the NFL. And by the way, for the players, you know, the players benefit when the NFL benefits. I think most people understand that. There's always this feeling like the NFL's making all this money at the players' expense. They're taking all this gambling money. Well, no, they get, you know, they get 49% of the revenue. You know, they're in a rev share with the league. So the players benefit from all this too. But I'd love to see what the number is in terms of how much revenue is being generated through their, you know, partnerships with gambling entities, legal gambling entities. Part of me thinks it's, you know, I guarantee you if I were sitting in their shoes, I could never turn down the money that is there for them. They also benefit from, you know, sports gambling because it just raises interest overall in the sport and more people are interested than ever before. Gambling was always a big driver of interest even before it became legal. But, you know, I just don't know if, as you like to say,
I think it might be more than you think because of the accessibility of betting now. I mean, right there on your phone.
What do you mean?
I mean? You don't have to walk into a sports book.
What I'm saying is, what I was about to say is, I just wonder if it was worth it for the league to jump in bed with sports gambling the way it did. If the juice is worth the squeeze. You know, it's a lot easier for them to come down hard on gambling. It would be, I think. And not that they haven't. You know, Calvin Ridley was suspended for a full season. We've seen that. Shaka Toney, who played for Washington, got suspended for a full season. But there is some hypocrisy in all of this. And I just, I on some level, I know the pitfalls of this. A lot of people that talk about gambling or have just gotten into gambling, I don't think they really understand, you know, the danger in this for people. There are plenty of people. The majority of people can bet and never be at risk because they're able to do things in moderation. But the people that can't, and some of those people are in the league. Some of those people are probably in the league office. It's, you know, this is why I hated the way, you know, Ted, you know, pitched it very naively in the early days of legalization a couple of years ago with the sports book and being the first and trying to be so super edgy and talking about how, you know, with the kind of data that was out there, you can almost make a living doing it. It's just that part of it. It bothers me because I know it's not true. And you don't win gambling. I mean, I'm hypocritical. I have a gambling partner as an ad partner on this podcast. I bet, you know, and I know that my bookie's a good place to bet. But and I'm taking the money because it's a big deal for sports, you know, books right now to spend big money on advertising to try to acquire customers. It's become very competitive, but I don't know about the leagues doing this. The NFL in particular, which, you know, it's not like they absolutely need it. Some of these other leagues do, but I'm sure it would be too much money for me to turn down too if I were in the Roger Goodell seat.
Yeah, I mean, ignoring it isn't going to make it go away.
I know.
I think being part of it, I think they feel like they can maybe foolishly or not have some control over it.
They ignored it for years, and it was a big part of what drove league interest. The league doesn't, you know, the league is not the sheriff on this thing. It's the sports books are keeping the integrity of the game. They're the ones that monitor, you know, suspicious betting. You know, the league doesn't know that. League's not taking bets. ESPN is, and they're a league partner. I haven't heard much about that app. But anyway, anything else on this? I don't think this will lead to much. It's not great judgment for Malik Nabers to have disclosed this, to be honest with you, but, you know, Jaden Daniels confirmed it, so you could say maybe not the best of judgment, but you could tell that he was doing it reluctantly. But anyway, I think they'll...
Let me ask you a question about something else, though.
Sure.
Why is he doing the Keyshawn Johnson podcast?
I don't know. He's an L.A. guy. I think he's known Keyshawn. I think he's known Keyshawn's son, who's a part of the podcast.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, that's my guess. All right, we've got other things to get to, and we will, right after these words from a few of our sponsors. All right, guys, now with the NFL draft behind us, it's time to focus on springtime games, like real games, playoff games. For me, it's the NBA playoffs. And if you're a daily fantasy sports player, I've got the app for you. Prize Picks is the app that's easy and exciting and a new way to play DFS. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. It's just you against the numbers, not you battling thousands of other players. It's you picking more than or less than on between 2 and 6 player stat projections with odds. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000 during these NBA playoffs. Turn your NBA hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks, by the way, so simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use my code SHEEN for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use my code SHEEN, SHEEHAN, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Harry's. Many of you have probably heard of Harry's razors and shaving products, maybe even from this podcast. They've been an occasional advertiser over the years. I'm a customer. I have been for a while now. I think it goes back to the first shipment of product that they sent me before the first time they advertised on the pod, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They found a way, Harry's did, to make a beautifully designed razor for a fraction of the price of other big brands. I've been using their Truman handle. It's a two-tone handle with a great grip. It provides a close shave no matter if you've got a beard and you're shaving around it, or if you cleanly shave on a daily basis. Their German-engineered blades stay sharp for a long period of time. They've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills for as low as $2. That's half of what you pay other big brands. Right now, you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, and this is a no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. Convenient subscription options exist that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. That's harrys.com/SHEEHAN for a $3 trial set.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Window Nation. Window Nation's got their semi-annual sale going on right now, and it's a big deal. Right now, you can get 50% off all windows, along with no interest for 5 years. Plus, if you schedule an appointment today, you'll get additional savings. If your windows leak, if they're older, if they get foggy, if they get hot to the touch, you're paying much too much in utility bills, air conditioning and heating, and that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save big. Right now, if you schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate, you'll get extra savings when you mention my name, on top of 50% off all windows and no interest for 5 years. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com and mention my name, again, for a no-risk, free in-home estimate. By the way, checking out some of the MyBookie prop bets, Caleb Williams is actually the favorite to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, followed by Marvin Harrison Jr., and then Jaden Daniels. So Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jaden Daniels, in that order, your favorites for the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Now, as I understand it, the way it works, this will be a bet that the public can make, right?
Yes, of course. It's a prop bet.
This is a normal prop bet. It's not an outrageous prop bet.
Well,
you know, who's going to be the Rookie of the Year?
Right.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean,
so the whole betting public can bet on this.
Yeah, if we're being if we wanted to get into the bet that Malik Nabers made, he made a dumb bet because his odds are longer than Jaden Daniels. Yeah. He should have gotten odds on his $10,000 bet because Jaden Daniels is right around plus 900. Malik Nabers is like plus 1,500. So, you know, he should have gotten somewhere around plus 600 on his bet, his $10,000 bet with Jaden Daniels. I had this, by the way, real quickly on the mock schedule from yesterday. CJ sent this to me, our guy CJ, who was there the other night. It was good to see
our boy CJ out.
So the Orioles put out a notice to their fans that their Sunday, September 8th game at home against Tampa Bay has been moved from 1:35 to 12:05 p.m. That would suggest, I think, that the league has told the Ravens they're going to open up Sunday night football. And they play Washington at home. Now, will it be Washington, or would it be, you know, somebody like the Steelers, you know, an arch rival, or, you know, the Bengals, or even the Browns?
A lot of buzz about the Steelers this offseason.
What do you, about the team that they're going to have with Russell Wilson? Justin Fields? Yeah.
Or Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I mean, and they got high grades on their draft. Huge grades on their draft. There's a lot of buzz about the Steelers. Some people are picking them to win the division already.
Really?
Yes.
The Steelers are being picked to win their division? There's no way that
they're an odds favorite.
But
some people have picked it. I just say that the Steelers, there'll be a lot of buzz going into the season about them. I could easily see them opening against the Ravens on Sunday Night Football.
I mean, the Ravens-Steelers game and rivalry is always a big draw, but they also play Buffalo at home. I could see that being the Sunday night game. I could actually see Washington and Jaden Daniels opening up in Baltimore, too. On my mock schedule yesterday, I did have a Sunday night game in Baltimore in October 20th. Dallas has been, I'm telling you, they have played that Sunday night spot so many times. But that would be an indication that maybe the league's told Baltimore they're going to be the Sunday night game. They do play Dallas, but they play them in Dallas this year. And I would guess, by the way, that if Baltimore's the Sunday night game, let's just say it's against the Steelers, well, Dallas doesn't open up on anything other than prime time, typically. So that would give them the Monday night opener. And that could be against Washington. Dallas, Washington, Monday night football to open up the season. In D.C., in Dallas, who knows? Anyway, wanted to get that out. So,
speaking of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Did you see the reports that Lamar Jackson says he's down to 205 pounds.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, he's going to be much faster, he says, this year. And his weight is, because he's on purpose, his weight is down to 205.
What did he play at last year?
215, I think.
I mean, what does he need to lose weight for? He just won his second MVP.
Faster.
He's pretty damn fast already.
You know, it's hard for me to actually conceive how 10 pounds is going to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what? It's kind of hard for me to concede to be able to see that, too, although I could use it. You know, there's that stat out there that since 2000, I think it is, that quarterbacks that come into the league, Lamar Jackson's already in the league, but the quarterbacks that play at below 210 pounds, there's basically a list of them, and they've all failed. None of them have been, and that's one of the reasons people believe Jaden Daniels didn't weigh in at the combine, and he did end up weighing in on his pro day, and he was at 210, right? Lamar Jackson, to me, looks great. But whatever. The big thing with Baltimore is somehow getting through in the postseason when you got to sit back, drop back, and make throws on third down, which he hasn't consistently done, at least in the postseason. He hasn't. But he's won a lot of regular season games. That's for sure.
Yes.
All right, I wanted to get to this, and I know you saw this as well, and I want to play it because we talked about Jamal Murray yesterday on the show and the fact that the league did not suspend him for throwing objects out onto the floor at a referee from the bench. I mean, Let me just repeat that because I almost feel like we've undersold what he did. He threw a towel and threw a heating pad at a referee from the bench while the game was going on. I don't know that that's ever happened, that players have thrown something at a referee. Roberto Alomar once spit in the face of an umpire. I do remember that. But throwing things at a referee, and he didn't get suspended for it. I was, you know, wasn't that I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed. Adam Silver not suspending him. They didn't really look after the referees or protect the referees in that particular instance. I think he should have been suspended. You agreed with me yesterday, right?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Imagine the reaction. What would have happened to a fan if they threw something from the stands onto the court during the game?
Ejected and not allowed back for a while.
They'd be banned from the arena, and they'd probably be charges filed against them.
I mean, if somebody had gotten hurt, like somebody slipped on the heating pad, you know, Carl Anthony Towns or somebody from Minnesota, he probably would have been suspended. I also said yesterday, I think I did to you, that if Denver were up 2-0 in the series, or maybe if it was 1-1, maybe they would have suspended him for game three. But, you know, they're looking after themselves here. They need this series to continue. They need more product. They want Denver to remain alive. And if they lose Jamal Murray, no matter how badly he's played in the first two games, they don't have much of a chance of beating Minnesota in game three. And if you go down 3-0, no one's ever come back from that in the history of the NBA playoffs. But anyway, he spoke yesterday. He did not speak after the game on Monday night. He did get involved in a media scrum yesterday, and I'm going to play it for you right now.
It is what it is, and I take everything full responsibility, so on to the next.
Was it just your frustration boiled over? Is that what happened?
Yeah, on to the next. I mean, there's not much, 2 days ago, not much for me to say about it right now.
Were there any conversations that you had with people or anything just to kind of, like, apologize or whatever, maybe?
You have any basketball questions? No.
So, he did say, I take everything in full responsibility, but he had no interest in talking about it and acted as if they should be talking about something else. I'll let you start.
Basketball questions?
Say again?
He said, basketball questions? Any basketball questions?
Yeah, at the very end. Do you have any basketball questions? I mean, it was 2 days ago. Not much for me to say about it right now. What do you say about this?
Well, it's funny because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, somebody should say to him, basketball questions? You threw something on the court. Why would anyone ask about the basketball questions? I mean, there's nobody in the history of the league that we can remember who's ever done that. I mean, look, he's an idiot. They're most of them are idiots. You know, it's an idiot league.
It is not.
With idiot players.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Whatever you say. I watched these great games that people talk about.
Yeah.
And they only talk about them being great in part because they're close.
Well, a lot of them haven't been.
I see guys walking. I see guys.
Okay.
I see guys, it's just, I saw it.
You don't like the NBA. Can you focus on the topic for crying out loud? Are you done?
Well, I can.
He's an idiot?
No, I'm not done yet because he's an idiot.
Yeah. It certainly was an idiotic way of handling that. No doubt. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Sorry to offend your sensibilities.
Well, it's just you don't watch the NBA, so to have this, you know, strong opinion on how awful it is, it's entertaining, but it's also it's ignorance because you don't know because you don't watch.
Well,
you admit
no,
you don't watch.
I watch the
no,
NBA,
you don't.
And every time I watch
no, you don't.
The NBA,
you don't watch it
exactly.
Did you watch
what I'm
the
talking about.
Did you watch the Knicks Pacers game last night? You're gonna.
I didn't watch the Knicks. So if I don't watch one night, does that mean I don't ever watch it?
Did you watch the Knicks-Pacers game last
games
night?
I should watch? Which games I don't?
You've told me you don't watch the league. You've admitted you don't
watch
it.
I have watched the play. I do sporadically watch games here and there.
All right. Well, I can't keep up with whether or not you're watching or not watching.
Just as much as it did the time before I watched it.
Yeah. This was incredibly idiotic. I mean, Jamal Murray has gone from being an incredible clutch closer. He closed two games against the Lakers out, one with a buzzer beater, the other one with a shot with 3.5 seconds to go. Incredible fourth quarter play in that series, to being 9 of 32. He was 3 of 18 the other night, and now he's got something attached to him that I think he could have gotten out of, but he didn't. And answering the way he did without any level of contrition is just really bad judgment. I actually would put some of this, without knowing for sure, but if he wasn't coached up for this press conference, you know, because I do agree with you, these are young people and some of them aren't the brightest. The whole league isn't filled with a bunch of idiots, but there are some dummies for sure that need help, you know, from a public relations director. Like, this is a big deal. You know, there is outrage from a lot of places that you weren't suspended. You're going to meet with the media. I need to sit down and prepare you for this because this is how you should handle it. Now, maybe they did, and he said, no, I'm not going to handle it that way. I'm going to go out and basically act like, you know, this was not a big deal, and I'm here to take basketball questions. First of all, like you said, basketball questions? The only thing anybody's talking about as it relates to you is what you did from your little sandbox on the bench the other night. I mean, what you did was so immature and reckless. Yeah. I mean, it really was. And so the only answer is I was frustrated. I did something that was out of character for me because he doesn't have a history of this. I was wrong to do it. It was reckless. It was dangerous. I apologize to not only the Timberwolves, my team, the referees. I need to do better. I need to play better. And I will. And there wouldn't have been many follow-up questions, you know, probably. If he could have read from a statement. It was that kind of a, it should have been treated as that kind of a press conference, right, Tommy? After that event, it should have been treated by the PR people as, you know what, we're going to help you write a statement. You'll read from a prepared statement, and then hopefully that'll put it to bed, and you can answer basketball questions. I also blame Adam Silver in the league, because I think when he got fined instead of suspended, he felt like it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'm sure he doesn't think, I'm sure, you know, I'm not saying, I can't say I'm sure, because maybe he does now, based on the reaction to what he said, but I'll bet at the time he didn't think it was that big of a deal. And when the league fined him, I'm sure he still didn't think it was that big of a deal.
It's really, it's just pitiful the way that was handled. And, you know, there are people out there, and I always find this entertaining. Well, leave him alone. You asked once, he gave you the answer, leave him alone. You know, they'll blame it on the media. Look, there are some times where the media is excessive and overboard. This is the only thing that matters, talking to Jamal Murray yesterday, if you've got a job in media. And the fact that he wanted to move on and did not want to express any level of contrition is why the questions kept coming. And I don't know, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Being a PR person for a team nowadays is getting harder and harder because PR people, they don't listen to them. And then you've got a lot of PR people that are just actually hesitant, if not afraid, to tell players and coaches, no, you need to do this, and this is how you should answer this question. But
well, we talked about this before, and the problem starts at the top. If the general manager, or even higher, of a team has not let the team know that this person in charge of media is speaking for him, okay? That's his voice. When your media guy is in the club locker room giving you advice on something, he's speaking for the general manager and he has my full support. That's what you don't see anymore.
I'll tell you what, for the way he handled it yesterday, I think Adam Silver should slap another fine on him. He clearly doesn't understand the actions from the other night. By the way, I'm just reading this right now. Patrick Beverley, Bucks guard, you know, everybody knows Pat Bev, and he's got a short fuse and is a bit odd. Suspended 4 games without pay. This would be for next year because the Bucks are out. For throwing a basketball multiple times at fans and for an inappropriate interaction with ESPN producer Melinda Adams after Milwaukee's season-ending loss to the Pacers in Game 6 of their first-round series last week. If you missed that, basically he looked at this producer and said, "Are you a subscriber to my podcast?" And she said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "I'm only talking to people who subscribe to my podcast." By the way, I think I'm going to start doing that. Do you listen to my podcast? If not, I'm not talking to you. You talk about an idiot. Pat Beverley. Actually, he's actually very interesting. I've seen him interviewed so many times. Scott's had him on several times. He's actually a very interesting person, but that was idiotic for sure.
Well, I think there's a criminal investigation going on into that case.
Into what case? Oh, the throwing the basketballs? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the police are investigating it.
Okay.
To see if there's any assault charges involved.
So I'll take a moment to talk to all of you out there that have actually been watching the NBA playoffs to talk about the game last night, which was a crazy game. Jalen Brunson got hurt in the first half, only had 5 points. Indiana built a 12-point lead. And on the anniversary, maybe I can work Tommy into this conversation. On the 54-year anniversary of Willis Reed coming out of the locker room to score 4 points in the game that you've often said was Walt Frazier's game, which it was, as the Knicks won the title 54 years ago, last night, I guess. But Brunson came out in the second half and scored 24 of his 29 in the second half. He's on just an incredible roll. What a player he is. I never saw this coming. I didn't see it coming when he was at Villanova. I certainly didn't see it coming when he was at Dallas. He was great. He's one of the best small guy scorers we've seen since maybe Iverson. A lot of controversy over the way the first 2 games have been called, and there's no doubt that Indiana's gotten the short end of the whistle in the first 2 games, but they put in a complaint to the league of over 78 calls that they claim were incorrect and went against them. But if you've watched this series, which I have, the biggest problem Indiana has is they are a terrible defensive team. You've seen some incredible defensive performances in the postseason so far, especially Minnesota and Oklahoma City. Indiana just doesn't guard. And so until they fix that, they can complain all they want. They're in big trouble, although New York's hurt. I mean, Ananobi got hurt at the end, hamstring. Brunson's, you know, hurt. Mitchell Robinson's hurt. Wouldn't surprise me if Indiana wins a couple of games this weekend. They can really score. I've always liked Rick Carlisle, Tommy, as a coach. I don't know what he's doing having Nembhard guard Brunson most of the time. I mean, Brunson's laughing. He was on 1 foot last night shooting over him. The Garden, man. I'll tell you what, I would like to, if it's Knicks Celtics, I would love to go up to New York for one of the games in Madison Square Garden. It looks like it's one of the most incredible environments in sports, the way that fan base is into it. I've heard it's just off the charts.
Having played, in some of those Knicks-Celtics playoff games back in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you it is an electric atmosphere.
It looks it. Really, really entertaining game last night. And tonight, I mean, the Celtics just look like I just can't see the Celtics not being in the NBA Finals. But you get a chance to see another Oklahoma City effort tonight. They are fun to watch. And then we get Knicks-Pacers twice this weekend and Mavs-Nuggets tomorrow night to see Jamal Murray, what kind of response he has in a game that he shouldn't be playing in. All right, we got a few more things to finish up on, and we will get to those right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, most of us are interested in our mental and physical well-being to a certain degree, and with that in mind, I'd like to welcome and introduce a new sponsor to the podcast. The new sponsor is Unified Healing. Unified spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, Healing. It doesn't matter if you're a big-time world-class athlete or just a somewhat athletic podcaster like me. We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring the podcast now. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the DMV or anywhere else across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Well, go to unifiedhealing.com/Sheehan to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/Sheehan. No material or testimonies on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. All right, Tommy, tell us about Shelly's, where I'm sure they'll have the NBA playoffs on tonight if you want to go down there and watch games.
Absolutely. A lot of people the other night at my Cigars and Curveballs fundraiser discovered what a special place Shelly's is. And Shelly's is special for a lot of reasons. And one of the reasons are the food specials that they have daily from their great menu of excellence. And let me just tell you what today's special is. Today's special is something that if you're planning on watching the NBA game, you know, eating a nice dinner, this should be your item right here. Shelly's Cordon Bleu Burger.
Mm.
A half pound of Shelly's custom blend. They have a custom blend beef, Angus ground chuck, beef short ribs, and beef brisket are blended together for their custom blend of beef, topped with honey ham and blue cheese on a butter-toasted bun served with ranch dressing, fries, and a kosher dill pickle. Now, that's only $15.95.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a deal.
That's a good deal.
DC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a quality meal deserving of the excellence of the NBA, okay? And you can have all that at Shelly's. And if you get bored watching the NBA game, you can watch the smoke just come out of your cigar while you're smoking it. Shelly's Back Room, 1331 F Street Northwest in the district.
There's some Washington Commanders news. Nikki Javala reporting that the Commanders are not renewing the contract of Senior Director of Player Personnel, Eric Stokes. He joined in 2020 as the Director of Pro Scouting and then was elevated to his current role in 2021. I think once you get through this first draft with the new GM, then he starts to look at the entire front office, scouts, etc. So expect some changes. Remember, Kyle Smith was here with Ron Rivera through that first draft. It's hard when you get in January to reshuffle the whole deck, and the scouts have been the ones out there, you know, getting you ready, getting the organization ready for the draft. So Adam Peters probably will revamp that department. The Nats lost last night, Tommy, but a good game. 7-6 in 12 innings last night against the Orioles. They were down two runs twice, once in the ninth, once in the 11th. But, you know, not a bad 2 days for the Nats, who are back at 500 at 18-18.
I thought it was an excellent 2 days for the Nats. I think they learned something about themselves. I think they feel even better about themselves than they did before going into the game, because the Orioles are a measuring stick. You know, this is maybe the top team in the American League. And, you know, the Nats blanked them the first night and went toe-to-toe with them, taking them the extra innings, you know, last night, and really could have won that game as well. Even though they didn't play that well, they left a ton of runners on base.
12 men on base, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they still were right there through 12 innings. So these were two good days for the Washington Nationals moving forward. I think there could be some exciting baseball coming up. I mean, if you were at the park last night — I wasn't at the park last night. I mean, I was there Tuesday night, and that was a good game. But last night was pretty dramatic, especially I watched the when it went into extra innings. I was watching on TV. You know, they made a couple of mental errors that probably cost them the game. Jordan Weems, the reliever, overthrew on a play to second base. Jesse Winker threw to the wrong guy on a play at the plate, should have thrown to second base. But overall, a positive 2 days for the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, and Rosario has had a really good stretch of games after having such a horrific start to the season. He's got 5 hits, 4 RBIs, and 2 home runs in his last 3 games, including a homer last night in the ninth when they were down 3-1 that made it 3-2, and then they ended up tying it up and forcing the extra innings. So good for them. You wanted to talk about something that I did on radio today. Austin Rivers, who is an NBA player, although he's not with anybody right now. He is the son of Doc Rivers, the Milwaukee Bucks head coach. Made a comment on the Pat McAfee show that 30 players in the NBA could play in the NFL and that 0 players in the NFL could play in the NBA. And that sparked a lot of conversation. J.J. Watt said, "You're not playing for anybody right now, but go ahead and try it." So football players have always had this idea that, yeah, we play a contact sport, so you better enjoy the contact, basketball players. But we've seen, you know, great basketball players play in the NFL. Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, you know, Julius Peppers, you know, Tony Gonzalez. You know, a lot of players have played basketball at a very high level in college and played at a very high level in the NFL. But you wanted to...
They were football players who played basketball. They weren't basketball players who played football.
Say that again.
They were football players who had played basketball. They weren't basketball players who had played football.
Well, they were college basketball stars in some case who then ended up playing in the NFL.
Well, who would that be?
Well, that would be Antonio Gates. That would be...
Was he a college football star?
Some of these guys were college football players, but they were more known as college basketball players.
And Antonio Gates was known more as a basketball player.
Yeah, he was in the Elite Eight against Indiana with Kent State. Big time player. Was, you know, I think he was an All-American, or was like, you know, honorable mention All-American basketball player at Kent State. They played in the Elite Eight against Indiana the year that Maryland won the national championship in 2002. So what did you want to say about this conversation? Because I did a call segment this morning where I said, give me the NBA player that you are convinced and would be excited to see play in the NFL, and at what position? And there are a lot of players that I think people think would be awesome NFL players. Russell Westbrook always comes to mind for me as a guy that could be a safety, could be, you know, an outside linebacker. Lou Dort is the guy I mentioned. If you watch OKC, he is just a brute at 6'4", you know, 240, and he's just so physical, so defensive. He just looks like a linebacker. You know, people have mentioned, you know, a lot of other players as well. But did you want to add to the conversation with a player that you were thinking of? Is that why you wanted to talk about it?
No. Here's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
And I wanted to make it about me, like, you know, which I rarely do.
Right.
You know, there are NBA players who have the physical skills to play in the NFL. I don't know if there's NBA players, many NBA players, who have the heart to play in the NFL. And we're talking about the load management league now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't the NFL from 20 years ago, let alone 30 or 40 years ago.
The NBA, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NBA.
You're running out of gas again today. You're fading down the stretch.
Here's my point.
Uh-huh.
At the cigar event the other night, we were trying to bid on, and we were trying to generate bids for an item for a boat ride out of Annapolis,
mm-hmm.
That on a weekday afternoon with me, myself, and NFL players John Booty and Ken Harvey. And it didn't generate much interest. You know, it was near the end of the auction. But in order to generate that, I said, I'll even have Ken Harvey show some of his pass rushing moves on me on the boat as part of the, you know, thing, which didn't seem to interest anybody. But Ken Harvey came over to me and he grabbed my arm. And he did a move that was a split-second move on me. And all of a sudden, right there, I realized the power. And he's 59 years old. Okay. The power and the speed of NFL players is just something from an alien planet. I mean, I knew that from years ago, but this was just a reminder to me. I mean, he grabbed me for a moment on my arm, and my life was not mine at that point.
Well, he's lucky he wasn't reaching for your back pocket. That's what he was lucky about.
Yeah, he is lucky about that.
Look,
but,
all of these guys are
freaks. The NFL is a tough, tough, tough business.
Mm-hmm.
And the NBA...
They're not playing two ways. They're not playing both ways anymore with leather helmets. You know that.
I know.
I mean, I'm sure...
The NBA is... Again, it's the load management league. It's kind of farcical to talk about players playing in the NFL when they can't even make it through, you know, three NBA games in a week.
Well, I'll tell you what. I disagree with Austin Rivers that zero NFL players could play in the NBA. There probably are a few NFL players that could play in the NBA. Some of the NFL players were phenomenal, you know, high school basketball players. And, you know, you take a guy like Myles Garrett. Have you ever seen Myles Garrett or Anthony Richardson and the athleticism? But I absolutely think that basketball players are the best athletes. I've always felt that way. And I'm not so sure out of 500 players in the league, it's not more than 30 that could play in the NFL. There are lots of positions. Now, you know, you have to – the big thing with basketball and football, and anybody that's ever, you know, been a part of any of those sports, you got to like contact. You know, you can't shy away from contact. But there are plenty of NBA players that would be okay with the contact. And then others that you'd probably be surprised would not be okay with the contact, which is why they play basketball. But I do think that there are a lot of basketball players that if they focused on football would be able to play at the NFL level. Yeah, and that's it. What else?
Nothing else for you today, boss.
All right, well, you know, let me know when you're going to sit down and actually watch an NBA game, and then maybe we can talk about it during the game so I know that you're actually watching it. And then come in here and let it play out on the podcast. See if I can get your mind changed on it.
You know, when I send you a text that says, "Is there quicksand in the paint?" then you'll know I'm watching the NBA.
Because they're just stuck and sinking in it?
No, then nobody wants to step in it.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that.
Watch
Jalen Brunson get into the paint as a 6'2 player.
Okay, maybe I should have amended it to defenders.
Yeah, you don't watch the game, but that's okay. Yeah. It'll never stop you from being sure about what it is. That's why we love you. All right, do me a favor, get some sleep because you faded a little bit here day two. By next Tuesday, I hope you're ready to go full strength. This load management's killing me. I need you here, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I'll watch an NBA game this weekend. I'll try to figure out a way to force myself to do it, like eating my broccoli.
Well, you know what? It's better than asking you to go out and play golf. All right, have a good weekend. I'm back tomorrow. And we should be able to talk tomorrow about what Jaden Daniels looks like in a Washington uniform. First day of minicamp, rookie minicamp tomorrow. All right, Tommy, see ya.
All right, boss.
That wasn't. Knicks on a run here. Brunson gets to the basket. He's fouled. Brunson really having to work here. Brunson off the glass. Scores. Wow. Set up for another terrific matchup between these two. Brunson battling his way in, finishes with the right hand. Pacers need a stop. Knicks trying to add to it. Brunson going to work. Turnaround. Good! And they give the ball to their best player. Brunson. Five to shoot. Brunson drives. Brunson scores!
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.